it so real, tell a friend. We trying to get right free of sin.
You are now listening to the words of truth.
Break the code. Sermons from Bishop Kelstone. And when life's hitting low,
you can always listen to the words of truth.
I want to talk to you today from a subject called the resurrection effect. The resurrection effect. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to start at verse 50. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. And now, I want you to understand that the birth of Jesus Christ is important. His life is important. His death is important. But the most significant event in Christian faith is not his birth, not his life, not his death, but his resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event in Christian history. Why you say that, Pastor? Because, watch this, people be born all the time. So the fact that Mary was pregnant, now we know it was a miracle because she was pregnant and she was still a virgin. But there are a lot of people that don't believe that. They don't believe in the virgin birth of Mary. They believe that Jesus was born, but they believe his dad was named Joseph. So they don't believe in the virgin birth. So the fact that Jesus Christ was born is not a uncommon event in America, in our world. The fact that the miracles that Jesus did, turning water into wine and raising the dead, all the miracles that he did, they are not uncommon. Because if you go to the Old Testament, we see miracles in the Old Testament. Remember the woman that was the widow woman that as she poured the oil in the vessels and the oil kept pouring, that was a miracle. Remember when the widow woman's son died and Elijah laid on him and brought him back to life. So he was raised from the dead. So the miracles that Jesus was doing was not uncommon. We've seen them in the Old Testament. So his miracles were great, but we have Old Testament history to say, well, yeah, we see that. Even the fact that he died on a cross is not uncommon. Because remember, it was not just Jesus there on the cross. There were also two thieves. So somebody dying on a cross is not uncommon. And watch this. In the world, he was dying there from a world perspective because of his blasphemy. Because they killed Jesus or hung him there because he kept saying he was the Son of God. So what they thought they were doing was defending their law. So the fact that Jesus is hanging on the cross, it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon. Not saying it's not important, but not uncommon. Resurrection changed the course of history. Because up until this point, nobody had ever been raised from the dead. Now, somebody said, well, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, here's the thing. He raised Lazarus from the dead, but Lazarus still later on died. Okay? They raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, but later on, guess what she did? She died. Everybody up to this point that had been raised from the dead later on in life died. Jesus, being resurrected from the dead, here it is. He's still living. Now, if your view of Jesus Christ is just a biblical character or an individual that died, and if your Jesus is dead, then guess what? So is your faith. Every one of us, in order to operate an effective Christian, you have to believe in the resurrection Christ. What are you saying, Bishop? I'm saying that you have to believe that Jesus is still alive today. Tell somebody he still lived today. He's the only person that has rose from the dead and still alive. Muhammad, dead. And he didn't come back. Buddha, dead. Didn't come back. Jesus is the only one who died and came back to life. Watch this. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, watch this. He also was healed. What killed Lazarus, watch this, when he was raised from the dead, he was healed from that condition. Jesus was the only one raised from the dead, but still had the holes in his hands. Still had the holes in his feet. So his outside condition did not change, but he still got up. Which I need you to understand that some of you got to understand that when you are resurrected, guess what? Physically, the outside might not change, but your resurrection happens on the inside. So my physical condition does not have to change in order for me to be resurrected. Jesus still, everything, he still had the hole where they pierced him in the side. Now watch this. We now in 21st century church, we say, oh, of course we believe in the resurrection. But I want you to show you in Matthew 27 is that when the disciples, they were there, they heard about, they followed Jesus all of this time and seen all the miracles that Jesus did. They were with Jesus every single moment. And they heard Jesus talk about the cross. They heard him talk about giving his life. But watch this. After he died, they all left. They all went back to doing what they used to do before they was with Jesus. You know why? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They heard him say it, but they didn't get it. You know why? Because it had never been seen before. So let's go to Matthew 27, verse 50. Let's pick up this story. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had slept arose and came out of the graves after resurrection. Y'all missed it. You missed it. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Let me pause here because I got to show you the effects of the resurrection. When Jesus rose, every Christian that had died before Jesus got up. Y'all got to see it. I'm talking about the effect of the resurrection. Watch this. It says that, it said, and came out of the graves after his what? His resurrection. When Jesus rose, Moses got up. Elijah got, every Christian that had died, that was in the grave, when Jesus got up, they got up. It's right there in the text. And came out of the grave. Tell somebody they came out of the graves after the resurrection. And what did they do? And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. In other words, other people seen them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine them walking around telling them, hey, that's John the Baptist. That's Moses. Can you see this event? I'm trying to show you the resurrection changed the history of the world. People that you went to their funerals are now, you're looking at them saying, oh my God, is that who I think it is? What just happened? Jesus got up. And watch this. This is what you got to understand. When Jesus got up, everything that was dead in him had to get up with him. This ain't no just happenstance. This is not just a coincidence. This is the change of the world. Jesus. And all the graves open. I would have lost my mind for real. Yeah, I'd have been scared. I'd have got saved right there. I'd have just went on my knees and said, save me, Jesus, right now. And look, if I'd have doubted Jesus, would I have saw people that I know was dead walking around talking about, hey, Kale, I'd have been like, save me right now, Jesus. I want you to come on, come with me and try to imagine being at that moment, that particular day. Jesus, what they don't, those that are around don't even know what happened. They just start seeing people they knew was gone. And they probably saying, what happened? What's going on? They was like, I don't know, but all the graves didn't open up. And these people that came back to life and they walking in the city. Can you imagine the fear that would come upon them? Watch this. And even then, some of them still didn't believe. Let's keep reading. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, after they didn't saw what just happened, because let me back up. Let me catch you what's going on. Jesus has died. Okay. A rich man named Joseph goes unto Pontius Pilate and requests for the body of Jesus because he had prepared a tomb that he had cut out himself. This man has some money. He gets the body of Jesus, wraps the body of Jesus, and put the body of Jesus in the tomb, takes a stone and rolls in front of it. Now, the purpose of the stone in front of the tomb is so nobody can go out. And guess what? Nobody can come in. Now, I need you to understand that some of us have some stones in front of our tombs. Nothing can go out. Tell somebody, nothing can go out and nothing can come in. Now, they went and they started having a conversation. Those that killed Jesus had a conversation. It's amazing how Jesus dead and they still talking about it. Now, you know your impact is powerful when you ain't even there and they still talking about you. They says, look, this is what we need to do. Here's the deal. They says, we want you to give us some guards to put over the tomb. Just in case these radical Christian people, because they are talking about Jesus is going to get up in 3 days, he's going to rise. See, even they had heard about it. And says, what we want to do is we want to put a guard at the tomb so they won't come in and steal the body of Jesus and then trick us to try to make us think he didn't rose and start another radical movement. And so Pilate says, okay, that's a good idea. So they had 24-hour security at the tomb of Jesus. They didn't even know that was working into his plan. 24-hour security. And I need you to understand, because what you think was sent to restrain you, it's actually getting ready to promote you. I'm talking to the wrong church. What you think is set up to hurt you, it's actually going to position you to your next level. Is there anybody here can actually say it was good that some things happened the way it did? I am so glad that there were some people that defriend me and unfriend me. I am so glad that there are some people that made a choice that they didn't like me no more. Because guess what? See, you ought to be so glad that you got fired, because you'll never be where you were if they hadn't fired you. They put 24-hour security around the tomb. Always watching. Nobody could go in. Nobody could come out. 24-hour security. Watch this. So now, with this 24-hour security, it's getting closer to the third day. So both of the Marys are going to go down here and see if what this really happened. And so what they were really doing is that now they have some oil, anointment, and they are going down to anoint and oil the body of Jesus, because typically after 3 days, the body has begun to decay, and they put this oil and this anointment to preserve the body. So this is why Mary Magdalene and the other Mary is on the way to the tomb. They're on their way there, amen, to do their due diligence in preserving the body of Jesus. And when they get there, well, while they were on their way, an earthquake happened. A shaking, tell somebody, a shaking happened. While they were on their way, the earth shook. Now, the purpose of the earth shaking, y'all got to catch this. The purpose of the earth shaking is because when the earth shook, it moved the rock. I felt like preaching that. I said, when the earth shook, it moved the stone. Now, watch this. It took man to put the stone over it, but then it took God to move it. I'm here to help somebody to understand that whatever man has set up against you, God is getting ready to send a shaking, and God is going to remove every trap that every human being has ever tried to set up for you. Somebody ought to praise God for that right there. That guess what? God will shake the earth to get you free. An earthquake happened, and when the earth shook, the stone moved. So now the tomb is open. So when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary gets to the tomb, it's already open. For the five of y'all that's ready to shout and scream, I need you to catch this right here. God said, by the time you get to your destination, it's going to already be open. Okay, I need somebody to understand. By the time you get to the place where you need to be, every door that was shut going to be already open. Go and touch two people besides and tell them it's going to be already open. It's going to be already open. Don't worry about the opening. God will shake stuff. It'll be open by the time you get there. So many of us are waiting for the doors to open before we move. But I need you to move while the door is still shut. Is there anybody will move while the door is still shut? And by the time you get there, I don't know who I'm talking to. By the time you get there, the door will be open. It was shut when they left. But an earthquake happened by the time they got there. Now here's the thing, because I jump all the way into text. That's how I do it when Evangelist Barbara, I get all the way into text. And I says, now, the earthquake happened while they were walking. Ms. Smith, the earthquake happened while they were walking. Evangelist Dover, the earthquake happened while they were walking. Can you understand that when you're on your assignment, guess what? What affect other people won't affect you? I said, how is it that the earth shook, but they can still walk? How come the earth, it didn't mess up their walking? God said, because when you're on your assignment, when you're on your destiny, when you're on your purpose, what might hurt somebody else will not affect you. You don't try to figure out. Do you know other people trying to figure out why you ain't went crazy? Because they went crazy over stuff that they can't handle what you can handle. Tell somebody, because I'm on my assignment. He shook the earth to move the stone, but it never affected their walk. Can I prophesy to 10 of y'all right now? God says, what's getting ready to happen to this world is not going to affect your walk. Tell somebody, high five your neighbor, said, ain't going to affect my walk. Ain't going to affect. I don't care what they do in Washington. I don't care what the government do. I don't care what they do across this nation. I don't care what they do across this world. I don't care what they do with Social Security, Social Service. It will not affect my walk. It never affected them. Because where the earthquake happened was where they were going. And they kept walking. But the earthquake only came to get the stone out the way. Let me help about five of y'all real quick. That's why we got to be very careful when we're going through our storms. Because every storm is not designed to wipe you out. There are some storms only there to get rid of stuff that don't belong. I don't know who that was for. You got to understand. I need to tell somebody, God said, wipe your tears because of the storm that you're in. Because the storm is not there to take you out, but the storm is to get rid of all of your haters. Get rid of all of the people, amen, that don't mean you no good. Get rid of all the things that's trying to hold you back. The storm is there, amen, to wipe out the things that does not belong there. You need the storm. Somebody tell your neighbor, you need this storm. He shook the earth. He shook it. Whew. He shook it so hard. Watch this. And the stone rolled away. Watch this. And let me show you in scripture what happened. Verse 54, and now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, tell somebody they saw the earthquake and those things that were done. So they saw everything happening. You know what happened to them? They feared greatly. And this is what they said. Truly, this was the Son of God. I'm here to tell somebody, watch this. God is getting ready to convince your enemy. That was for me. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. That was for me. That was for me. Look, can I say that one more time for me? Listen, you ain't got to convince your neighbor. You ain't got to convince nobody. God is getting ready to convince your enemy about how anointed you are, how powerful you are, how great you are. All you got to do is keep being great. Keep being anointed. God is getting ready to convince your enemies on how great you are. All of my great people, make some noise right now. If you're great, if you know you're great, make some noise. Make some noise. I need you to look, don't be bashful, don't be ashamed. You need to just let everybody beside you. Tell your neighbor, say, you sitting beside greatness. Don't hate on me. You sitting beside greatness. You sitting beside fearfully and wonderfully made. Now watch this. The men that was there, and their job was to guard the tomb. Now they scared because they just saw what happened. Somebody look at your neighbor, you getting ready to see what's going to happen. Because they saw what happened, now they scared. Oh, they afraid. They're like, oh my God, oh my God. They saw the stone move away. They saw the earthquake. And now they scared. Watch this. And the women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministered unto him. And it goes on in 56, tell you, watch this. I want to get to, drop down to verse 62. Verse 62. Then the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days he'll rise again. Remember I told you, they had that conversation. And see how they called Jesus a deceiver? You know, the deceiver said that, you know, he will rise in 3 days. You know, I looked at that, Sister Christina, and it's, the thing that came to me is, if you didn't believe it, why are you working so hard to try to stop it? Can I help three of y'all real quick? Your enemies watch you more than your friends. If you don't believe it, why are you having this meeting? If you in such denial, because the truth of the matter is, I don't think they really was in denial. They were trying to prevent something. They're trying to prevent something that had already been prepared. And I need to help somebody to understand. This is where the enemy has deceived us, because he now have us in prevention mode. And when we are in prevention mode, we can't be in preparation mode. And God needs us to be in preparation mode, not prevention mode. Because prevention mode is trying to stop stuff from happening. Prepared mode said it can happen if it wanna. I'm ready prepared for it. I was having a conversation this week, and I was saying this is a culture issue between black and white and race. I says, see, we got to understand, as black families, we're trying to prevent our kids from trouble. We go around talking about, don't do this, don't, you can't do that. And on the problem is, while we are in prevention, we don't never prepare them for nothing. So when life happens, we shocked, we stuck. We got to understand our counterpart says, I already know little Johnny going to mess up. I already know little Susie going to act crazy. So I'm going to make preparations for them. So when they act crazy, guess what? They won't have to stay stuck in their mistake because I already made preparations. So when they mess up, not if they mess up, when they mess up, you got to understand Jesus Christ came to this earth not to prevent anything. He says, I come to give you life and more abundantly. He didn't come to prevent anything. He came to make preparations. That's why he said, now I go to prepare a place for you. Somebody shout preparation. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, what are you prepared for? They can't answer what they're prepared for, but they can tell you what they're trying to prevent. Well, I'm trying not to let this happen. I'm trying not to let that happen. I'm trying to stop this. And now you're in prevention mode and not in preparation mode. When you are in preparation mode, you ain't worried about prevention because you can say, let life happen. I'm ready for it. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. I need you to look at somebody and say, neighbor, get out of prevention mode and get in preparation mode. What are you preparing for? And you all here telling me, I don't know. Then, you know what? When you're not prepared for it, then when life happens, it will knock you out. You are now, help me, Holy Ghost, you are now stumbling over stuff for the last 5 years that you, if you were prepared for, you'd have been out in 5 days. You know why Jesus was able to rise in 3 days? He was prepared for it. He wanted to hear you. He was not trying to prevent the cross. He wasn't trying to prevent the cross. Oh, no, I ain't going to die this way. He wasn't trying to prevent it. You know what he did? He prepared for it. You're trying to prevent your cross. What you need to do is prepare for your cross. Because preparations determines how long you stay there. Look at the person beside you, how long you've been in it. Child, I've been in it for 10 years. That's too long. I've been going through this for 20 years. You done lost your mind. Come on. Because you never was prepared for it. And the lack of preparation will make you suffer in a crisis. You ought to be preparing financially. Right now, if you're driving a car right now, you should be prepared for breakdowns. I'm in the wrong church. That bad boy ain't gonna run forever. You're here not trying to drive it, keep it from breaking down. That's called prevention. I ain't gonna drive it because I don't want to break down. You let it sit, something's still gonna leak on it. And then your car have to stay broke down so long because you never prepared for it, the breakdown when it was running. I'm preaching good right now. Because you're always trying to prevent it. You better prepare for what's coming. All right, watch this. So now, I got to get it. So now the next day followed. The day of what? Preparation. Somebody shout preparation. All right, 63 says, sir, remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. He said, command therefore that the supper be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night, steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. See what they're trying to do? They're trying to prevent it. They don't know they can't stop it. Tell somebody, you can't stop it. I don't care how much you try, you can't stop what God's gonna do. Y'all didn't catch what I said. You can't tell somebody you can't stop it. They trying to prevent it, but he already prepared it. Watch this. 65, Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the supper sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. See that? They got everything closed up and then put a guard outside. They're saying, we got him now. We didn't crucify him. We didn't put him in a tomb. We got a stone over it, and we got a guard watching. Everything covered. And you know what it looks like now? It looks like the end. It looks like the end. The disciples are now gone. It's over. Because we have always been in our world, we always look at death as final. It's over now. We went to the repast, gone home. The disciples went back to their jobs. It's over. It's done. Makes sense, right? Because this is how our minds are trained, that death is it. It's over. It's finished. They are out here now. They got this. It's no way. None of this can happen. But watch this. Chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the cedar sculptor. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and did what? Rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Y'all see it? Watch this. His countenance was like a lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. This is an angel. The angel then came down there. The earthquake didn't happen. Angel came, moved away the stone, then he sat on it. I mean, he was just chilling. Moved it and then chilled. I mean, that's amazing. It's almost like he moved it and said, "Now, what you going to do?" My God. My God. Look. Verse 4. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Oh, God. Watch this. For the 10 of y'all that are screaming right now, your next blessing is going to make your enemies nervous. Oh, my God. What's this? What's this? These guys that was there to guard it, they sitting there, they shaking like, and the Bible says they shaking and they look like dead men. I mean, they ain't moving. Because they are witnessing a life-changing event. They are witnessing something that has never, ever happened in life. And they are watching it close up in person. Now, I'm not judging these men, because I'd probably been the same way. Okay, y'all okay. If Jesus walked through that door right now and started walking down this aisle, hey, y'all ain't gonna, you ain't gonna tell me this Christian lie. You ain't gonna jump up and start praising God. You ain't gonna be here tomorrow, "Thank you, Jesus." No, you ain't. You're gonna be like, "I'm up out of here. That's Jesus. I'm gone. I know. You know why? You know why we would run? Because in our minds, we know he dead. You don't expect to see him, because in your mind told you he dead. So if he walked through this door right now, it would scare all of us, including me. I mean, I might run back in. But my first reaction is going to be, "I'm out." What if somebody that you knew, a loved one that you knew, that you went to the funeral, and they just come through the door and walk around? You ain't going to be happy tomorrow. Oh, no. You're going to be like, "Oh, my God. Do anybody else see this? I got to go. No, something happening. Something. No, I know that person. Oh, no. You know, we say those things like, "Oh, I wish I could see my mom again. I wish I could see my dad." But if they walked in, in the flesh, and sat beside you, once you wake up, because you're going to pass out. I know I'm gone. I'm going to be just like these men here. And they're going to say, "And Bishop was like a dead man." I need you to get in this. I need you to see what's happening right here. This angel comes, an earthquake's happening. Angel comes, move away the stone, and then sets on the rock. And these men are sitting there looking at it, and it scares them. Just like it would scare us. Because in our minds, We say he alive, but we don't look for him to be alive. We say he's alive in our hearts, but he's dead in our sight. You don't look for Jesus. No. Yeah, in your heart you do. Because we say something like, God is not dead. Hallelujah, he's not dead. But then somebody say, hey, here come Jesus. Where? What if he showed up at your dinner table tonight? Watch this. And verse 4 says, and for fear of him, of the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Am I preaching okay? Are y'all getting it? Verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. Because they was getting ready to get scared. He had to tell them, fear not. He said, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He said, don't get scared. I know you come looking for him. But look at verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now, can you imagine they're going down there to see Jesus? And when they get there, the body gone. Now, the only way I could look at this, Evangelist Barbara, I says, what if you went to a funeral? Are y'all all right? And they opened the casket and the body gone. What y'all do with the body? Y'all got the wrong one. And they was like, no, he or she was in there when we rolled him in. Well, while we was on the way, a shaking happened. Y'all, listen, whenever there's a shaking, you better expect a miracle. Because the shaking is a prerequisite of a miracle. God never sends a miracle until he sends a shaking first. So for all of you talking about, he's just shaking my life apart, it's because there's a miracle getting ready to happen. For all of you saying, just feel like things are just falling apart, because a miracle is getting ready to happen. Because God never sends a miracle until something falls apart first. And for all of you that know that this week seemed like everything's falling apart, you just in line for a miracle. You about to open your mouth and bless God for that. What's this? Verse 7 says, he said, now go quickly, tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. They shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And the women, and they departed quickly from the supper with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. Now watch this. None of the disciples are there. They all back working. Because that's what we do. That's what we do. We go back to doing things our way because we think we're serving a dead Jesus. They followed Jesus. You know, they gave up their jobs when Jesus was here. Everywhere Jesus went, they was there. Everywhere you saw Jesus, you saw them. They followed Jesus. As soon as Jesus died, boom, back to work. You know what some of you are going to do? You'll come to church and you'll sit in here and you'll be all religious like, God, I'm going to follow you all the way. I love you, Jesus. And tomorrow, back to work. And they no more following Jesus. It's back to work. It's back to putting our trust back in our stuff. Because we think Jesus is not alive. But I need you to see the effect that the resurrection had. These guys now, watch this. Verse 9 says, and as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, said, all hail. And they came and held by his feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and they see me. Watch this. They says, now look, go get the guys and put them all in one place. And I'm gonna show up. Now, watch this. So they all go in, this is crazy. They all get in this room, right? They all in this room. And they're only going by what the women told them. I got to say this. This is why it is ludicrous and silly for people to say women can't preach. They just preach to the disciples. And what did they tell the disciples? Jesus coming. What you think I'm up here doing now? Telling y'all Jesus is coming. What did the women tell them? Jesus is coming. What are we supposed to be preaching now? The first message that was preached that Jesus was coming was by the women. And you're going to say women can't preach. They already preached right there saying Jesus was coming. What are we preaching today? And so all these disciples are in the room and they says, he coming. And y'all know, them brothers is up in there talking about, y'all women have lost y'all's mind. Are you sure he coming? They said, we saw him for ourselves. We went down there to the tomb. He ain't there. And they told us to get all of y'all over here. And he coming. This is what we do every week. Every Sunday at 11, I try to get all y'all come here. So I can tell y'all he coming. Now some of y'all got that same Thomas spirit. Somebody look at your neighbor and say that Thomas spirit. Because watch this. In this original meeting there in Galilee, all of the disciples was there but Thomas. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, where was Thomas? Thomas was at work. They said, Thomas, the women, see, the women told us, Mary them told us that they seen Jesus and they want us to come back to Galilee and to the upper room. Thomas was like, man, I ain't got time for that. Y'all know like I know. Y'all saw him on that cross. You know he dead. Y'all saw him. Didn't you see the blood? Didn't you see how bad they beat him? And now y'all gonna go just cause y'all, you know women crazy. They hallucinate. They ain't seen no Jesus. Y'all, come on. You know, all right, brothers, you know sometimes them brothers, tell, you don't want to take the word of the woman. Now, if there was another man saying it, you'd be like, okay, bro, I believe what you say, okay. But because of women, Thomas said, I ain't coming. No, y'all go ahead. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep fishing. I ain't got time to go and mess with them crazy women. That y'all gonna believe Mary? She over there crying on his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. That girl already, she was hallucinating while he was a living. She did some crazy things while he was a living. You know she just hallucinating. She want to see Jesus so bad. She done made up this whole story. And y'all gonna go over here? Somebody said, where was Thomas? Thomas did what some of us do. Tell me, I'm tired. I ain't going today. It's cold outside. Y'all ain't helping me. You ain't helping me. It's raining. It's hot. And all the other stuff we said. I ain't going. Thomas said, I ain't going. Watch this. So all them in the room, can you imagine this right here? All them in the room. Jalen, all them in the room. And they sitting in there. Door shut. They already married in there talking about, I'm telling y'all, he coming. Well, here's the thing. He told Mary to go get him, put him in the room, tell him he was coming. But guess what he didn't tell him? When? He didn't tell him be there by 8:30. y'all ain't helping me. He didn't say be there by 8:30. He didn't say I'll be there by 9. He just said get him there and tell him I'm coming. Is that not what we do every Sunday right here? We don't know when he coming, but I just tell somebody, he coming, though, for real. Now watch this. Watch this. They all there in this room. This is the crazy part. This would have freaked me out. This really would have get me. Because I'm sure that some of them are there in the room, and they are probably a little like, some probably said, well, he did say he was going to come back in 3 days. And I, I, I do remember the earthquake. Yeah, I was out there in the fishing bank when the earth shook and all that kind of stuff. So I heard and I saw the earthquake, and then probably heard something like, I don't believe it. I don't know. What you think? What you think? I don't know. I want to believe it, but I don't know. It's kind of bizarre. Ain't nobody else. You know how we do when we get in groups. Okay, let me talk to this. You know how we are when we in groups. See, have you ever believed something, then you got in groups, they had you doubting what you did believe in the first place? Yo, because you get in some groups, they got you scared of stuff you don't even see. It's almost like being with a group of person and somebody take off running, you just start running, tell me, what you running about? What was it? You ain't see it, but just because, watch this. Now you are moving on the reaction of somebody that's in your group. How many of you right now are just reacting to because of what the group is doing? They're all sitting in this room. This would have got me right here. The door was shut. They in the room. Jesus walked clean through the walls and said, hey. Maurice, I don't get on the phone. Man's dog, I don't mean, no, I don't mean, gone.
Go ahead.
He walked right, he didn't come through the window, no door, he just walked through the wall and just, hey, I'm here. They got to look like, and I was looking at the story, I said, what does this relate to me? How can I just relate to me? And this blessed me. He says, listen, when I'm ready to show up, I don't need open doors. He said, when I'm ready to show up, I don't even need an invitation. Y'all open. He says, I don't need nobody to invite me. I don't need you to send me an invitation card. I don't need you to open the door. Matter of fact, you can lock all the doors if you want to. You can put bars on the windows. He said, but when I'm ready to show up, I walk clean through the wall. Pause, I gotta go back, rewind. So I need to let y'all know something. Is that we serve a Jesus that can walk through walls. So if he can walk through walls, he can look through walls. So them sins that you're doing behind walls, you run behind the wall and tell me, okay, nobody see me. Jesus said, man, I walk through walls. What are you talking about? A shut door don't hide, don't stop me. He walked, he didn't kick the door in, he just. I said, what would you have did? You just sitting there talking about it, and then he just covered on through the wall. He came through the wall, put no hole in the wall, didn't change no paint, no nothing. He just. And they sat there, they were in amaze, like, oh my God. And so watch this. So somebody text Thomas. It's 21st century story, y'all. Somebody put it on Facebook. They DM Thomas and said, Thomas, he healed. Thomas sat back and said, oh, they said, Jesus, he healed. Thomas said, man, really? He's like, no, for real. Somebody probably went outside and called and said, Thomas, I'm telling you right now. He in the house right now. For real. Thomas over here. No, this is what Thomas says. Unless I can see it myself, I ain't buying nothing y'all tell me. See, that's them Thomas Christians. That's them Thomas Christians. Unless I ain't gonna believe it. Unless I see it. That's like, well, Thomas, catch your Uber over here. 21st century story. Get you an Uber. Come over here. We at 555 Heaven Drive.
Okay.
Don't y'all play that number. Thomas shows up.
mama shows up. And watch this. Can you imagine in the conversation? They said, Thomas, he walked right through the wall. Thomas said, what? Can you imagine? Thomas said, well, if he did it, I'm going to do it. Then Thomas will open the door for him. Thomas opens the door. He comes in. Thomas like, oh, my God. It looked like Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Yes, Thomas. I mean, I know I see you. I mean, my eyes ain't fooling me. I do see you.
All right, go ahead.
But to help me, can I just touch them nail prints in your hand? Because I need to see this ain't a ghost.
All right.
I need to make sure it's real. Jesus said, you know, I mean, come on. Can you imagine the walk from where Thomas was to get to where Jesus was at? Because why? He getting ready to touch Jesus to make sure this thing is real. He reaches out. Oh my God. This is the effect that the resurrection had on the disciples. Let me close this. Because now, for the next 40, we get wore out in a week revival.
Come on.
I'm going to talk to somebody. Some of you right now tell me, we've been in revival all week, I'm so tired. This revival woke me out. I'm so tired, child, I'm telling you. We've been in this revival, Lord Jesus, just woke me out. Oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so tired, this revival. You go to work every day. Go to work every day for 8 hours. Come to church for 3, and you about dead. Like, whoa. Oh, I hope Bishop Nation, why don't we cut it to 3 days? Why don't you just do a 2-day revival? Why we gotta do a whole 5-day? And watch this. Here's the effect of the resurrection. For the next 40 days, they gotta go to revival. Amen. Did y'all miss what I just said? That went right on clean y'all's head. They got a revival for the next 40 days. Some of you would have lost it right there. Like, you can't get it to me in 40 minutes. For the next 40 days, they are with Jesus, and Jesus is teaching the disciples and getting them prepared for ministry. You can't come to church 40 Sundays. Am I preaching all right? I'm in the Bible. I know I'm telling the truth. I mean, I'm telling you, for the next 40 days, they can't miss, tell somebody they can't miss a day. And 1 week, then where you out? Some of you can't wait to this service. Don't tell me, I'm going home and getting to bed. I'm sure. We've been in revival all weekend. We had to be in church in 10 days. Lord, gee, I'm going home. I'm going straight to bed, hun. I'm so tired. This right here, then, well, Lord, this child just woke me out. Can I preach like this? I'm talking about a pursuit after God. For the next 40 days, they can't miss a day. I just wonder, can I ask the question? I wonder, because I know gospel tabernacle, I know y'all want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Some start laughing, some say, well, it depends on what you ask him. I know you want the power of the Holy Ghost to come in your life. What if I said, starting tomorrow? We're going to be in church for the next 40 days. Some of you be like, Bishop then lost his mind. What in the world is he? So ain't nowhere in the world. No, ain't nobody need to be in church that much. Ain't no need. Hey, 40 days. Wait, I ain't got gas to come here today. That's what they'll say. First lady, you need to have a talk with Bishop. He wants us to come to church for. I mean, Lord Jesus, it's all, I mean, what he want us to do? He know we got to go to work and kids got to go to school and we got to have some time. I need some me time and I need some time. We need some us time. And but for 40 days, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. You're not ready. For 40 days, I'm talking about the effect of the resurrection. I'm talking about the resurrection effect. That for the next 40 days, they had to meet with Jesus every single day. 40 days. Now, I just believe this, and I don't have biblical proof. But I believe Jesus was long-winded. I don't believe Jesus had 45-minute sermons. I mean, we got record that Paul preached all night long. Man fell, broke his neck, went down there, laid hands on him, healed a man, went back to the church. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. I mean, when I went to Africa in 2015, I was in Africa, in Zimbabwe. I was there, and I look back at it now. I really do. It had to be God. I don't know how I did it. The real miracle was I stayed away from my wife for 3 weeks. Man. 3 days killed me now. She stayed gone all day yesterday, and I was talking. I was just laying in the house in the bed. Like, Lord, when's she coming back? Jesus Christ. She didn't know it. She don't know it, but I got, you know, I can follow her. What's the thing, Zavala, you have me on? What is it called?
Location.
Location, thank you. I got her on my location. So I was following her coming down the road. Like, she coming. She was on her way. And then she called me. I saw her on Ford. I answered the phone like I was asleep. She said, you sleep, baby. Where you at? She said, I'm on Ford. I already knew she was on Ford. I was running. Okay, y'all trying to mess my sermon up. I've been watching it, yes, sir. I knew when she got to Anderson, North Carolina. I knew when she was in Greensboro. I knew when she was in Reesville. I knew when she got to Dam. I knew when she got to Blair. You know why? You follow who you love. Okay, I can't get no help right there. You follow who you love. Y'all didn't hear what I said. I said, you follow who you love. And see, she came in the office. Look, then she be like, she said, you didn't even call me, but I was following you, though. Just because I didn't call, don't think I won't follow it. Because you follow who you love. And we say we love him, but we don't follow him. We don't follow.
Amen.
So what if I said for the next 40 days? Don't get scared, y'all. Some of y'all tensing up right now, like, Jesus, he gonna go there? Some of our visitors saying, no, we ain't never coming back here. This preacher, you're talking about 40 days in church.
Go ahead, bitch, 40 days.
I got two of us here. But what I'm trying to do is get, I want you to get it in your minds. Come here. I want you to see the resurrection effect, because those guys had a life-changing moment. The Jesus they had followed for 3 years died. And when they thought it was over, he shows back up. And now, guess what? They don't want to miss a moment.
Amen.
They says, we can't miss not one day. For 40 days, Jesus teaches them for 40 days. Watch this. And on the last day, watch this. He's meeting them in the mountains for 40 days. Watch this. And on the last day, he ascends up. He goes. And they so in love with Jesus that they stand in there watching him. It's like watching a balloon until it goes out of complete sight. And even when they can't see him no more, they still looking. And then an angel comes and says, hey guys, I believe it was the same angel that was sitting on the stone.
Amen.
He says, hey, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the sky?
Amen.
The same Jesus you saw leave is coming back.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God.
He's coming back.
Thank you, God.
Amen. It's him.
Now, those disciples, did I tell y'all they had to be with him for 40 days? Now, watch this. I want y'all to catch the whole thing. I want you to get the whole picture. 40 days and can't miss a day. And here's the instruction. Go back to Jerusalem.
Thank you.
And go into a room and wait till you get power.
Thank you.
Now, from Galilee to Jerusalem. Okay, this is crazy. I've been with you 40 days up in the mountain. Now I got to walk from Galilee to Jerusalem. Do you know the walk from Galilee to Jerusalem is 7 days? They got to walk now for 7 days. I mean, I kind of rational with the disciples at this point because I was kind of like, hey, Jesus, if I've been with you 40 days, can you give me what you're going to give me where I'm at? I mean, why can't you send the Holy Ghost right here? You're going to make me walk 7 more days to get a promise. Why can't you just send? Because see, some of us got to understand. In order for you to get the promise that God wants you to get, you can't stay where you are. You can't stay where you are mentally, emotionally. And some of you can't stay where you are physically. Someone look at your neighbor and say, your time is up. You've been where you are too long. And in order for you to get what God has for you, you got to move. You're going to have to move. He's not going to bless you in Galilee. You got to get to Jerusalem. Galilee was only for training. Jerusalem is for the promise. You can't get the promise if you stay in training.
Come on, sir.
See, how long you gonna be babies? You can't stay a baby forever. Tell your neighbor, you got to grow up at some point. Galilee was only where we met for training. Now get to Jerusalem to get the promise, because Jerusalem is where the work is. Galilee was where the training was. And here they go to Jerusalem, waiting for the Holy Spirit. They get there in the upper room, all of them there. We know it's at least 120 of them. The timeline, I haven't figured it out yet. I'm still working on it. And I don't want to give you anything inaccurate. But I haven't figured out the timeline on how long they had to wait in the upper room. But I do understand that the timeline is not significant as important of the condition of the room. I want you to hear me. Because some of you are worried about time. Time is not your issue. It is the condition of the room. And the Bible says, and as soon as they all got on one accord. See, you got to understand, the Holy Spirit won't come in confusion. Can I help somebody's house right now? You know why? You know why it seems like the blessing has been blocked on your house? Because God will not bless where confusion is. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to say, you know what? Because we always say time fix everything. That's not true. Because you can be in something for a lifetime that never changes. It's not about the time, it's about the condition. He says, and when they all came on one accord, suddenly it came a sound. It was when they got in there, watch this. I honestly believe that when they got to the upper room, they all had to work out their issues. Look at somebody on your row and say, we got to work out our issues. We can't expect the blessings of God to come into Gospel Tabernacle and you can't even speak to the person beside you. You can't expect for the glory cloud to come in Gospel Tabernacle and you got cliques in the church, only certain people you deal with and certain people you don't. It is when they all got on one accord. Bible says something that came to sound like a mighty rushing wind. I'm here to tell you, if you, I don't know who this is for, but y'all better catch it. If you change the condition of your home, the wind will come. God is holding up the wind until you get on one accord. Some married couple need to hear that. Your blessing is in the wind. Shah, glory. Your blessing is in the wind. But God says, I'm holding back of the wind. You know why he's holding back the wind? He said, because the conditions ain't right.
Yes. Yes.
And when the conditions ain't right, you'll work one job, two jobs, three jobs, and you still won't get nowhere because the condition ain't right. But as soon as they got the condition right, it came in. And what was the Holy Spirit? And I'm closing. The Holy Spirit was a supernatural spiritual version of the embodied Jesus. They didn't need the Holy Ghost when Jesus was here physically. They had Jesus here physically. But now Jesus gone and he sends the Holy Ghost, which is a supernatural spiritual version of the embodied Jesus in the flesh. But now the Holy Spirit lives within us. It doesn't walk among us. It's in us. What I'm saying, listen, you need God's word in you. You need his word inside of you. There's only one truth, and that's God's word. Everything else is suspect. You might like your friends, but they might tell you something sometimes might not be quite right. But let me tell you something. This right here will change your whole life.
So real, tell a friend. We trying to get right free of sin.
You are now listening to the words of truth.
Break the code. Sermons from Bishop Kelstone. And when life's feeling low,
you can always listen.